Happy Saturday. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. And, you know, once again, there's just so much stuff going on, it's impossible to cover it all. However, I've gotten a number of emails, a number of requests for my opinion on the spate of candidates, both Democratic and Republican, particularly Republican, that are, should we say, vying for the nominations to be the next president of the United States. So we're going to cover that today. I'm going to give you some advance, should we say, prognostications, maybe bring up some points you haven't thought about these various people and these various people relative to one another. And, of course, we have the Democrats, O'Malley, Hillary, scandal-free Hillary. Wow, unbelievable. And Bernie Sanders, the socialist from Vermont. Before I get into that, though, I'm going to handle two quick things. They deserve a lot more time, but we have limited time on the show, unfortunately. I'm going to be delving into them in more detail in the coming weeks. Number one, a year and a half ago, I equated the porous southern border, in fact, all our porous borders, the intentionality of that by the Obama administration, who views national security as totally secondary to their ideology and political, shall we say, greed, their political whims. They are political animals only. And I talked about how ISIS and or another terror group, with the proliferation of nuclear arms, particularly, by the way, with Iran coming online, and with the instability in Pakistan, I've posted articles on that, how it's not too difficult for somebody to get their hands on a nuclear weapon. For that matter, it's not too difficult for somebody to build one. Remember that ISIS stole 80 pounds of enriched uranium from the University of Mosul. This is now 9-10 months ago. There's diagrams to build a bomb on the web. I mean, this is not really hard if you're going to make a small device or a dirty bomb. And ISIS, just in the last week, oh, and then 2 weeks ago, I brought to your attention, although I could never find any more substantiation other than two websites, then it went dark, which usually is, by the way, is a pretty good indication that there's some truth to it, that ISIS has training camps in Mexico just 8 miles from the U.S. border. You know, kind of hiding in and amongst the cartels. Kind of the perfect match of nastiness. And just in the last week, ISIS has started to talk about how they're going to purchase a nuclear bomb, they happen to say, from Pakistan. And how they have will have no problem smuggling across the southern border of the United States. So, once again, kind of the dots that I arranged for you a long time ago are suddenly in print. They're actually being espoused by the enemy. And, you know, ISIS is a resourceful group. No matter how much we despise them, their ideology, their tactics, their methods, the fact that they want to impose their will on others, i.e. us, they're not content to stay in their caliphate and do their thing. They're a clever and resourceful group. Not that their competition, Mr. Obama, is anything special. But nonetheless, don't underestimate them. And, you know, read those family safety columns that I put up every week. Good tips in those, folks. Good tips in those. And at the same time, we have China. We actually have a high minister in the Chinese government warning of potential conflict. In fact, he used the word war with the United States. And this is over those islands in the South China Sea. I talked a little bit about them last week. There's articles. Definitely look at last week's show. They're actually taking sunken reefs, bringing in fill, creating an island, building a little military base with an airstrip, and then declaring all the waters around them a 12-mile limit as their waters. And they're doing it in a stair-step fashion, trying to say that basically the South China Sea is their territorial water. The United States has said they won't stand for this. We've sent military assets there. China is no match for us now, although with the commander-in-chief we have, I'm not sure we're a match for anyone. But China is no match for us, at least on paper right now, despite the fact they've stolen half our blueprints and half the planes and armament that they have is off American blueprints that they've pirated off the web. However, they will be in 10 years, and it's particularly important to stand up to China now while we can. I might add that on the long term, it's way important that we stay ahead of China, because China, we have many enemies in the world. Right now, we need to be focusing on the jihad. They need to be eliminated. But eventually, we'll be focusing on China. And then, of course, there's Russia. Russia is a different animal than China in many, many ways. You know, has one-tenth the population. It doesn't have the vibrant economy. It's strictly an oil-based petro economy. It has a very clever and tough leader, Putin. And, you know, here we are appeasing again. You've seen us kind of give away the store in the Iranian deal. So we have Putin who marches into Ukraine, an ally that we still don't send arms to. We send blankets and sea rations, no arms. They've been begging us for arms, not for troops, not for anything. Just give us the means to fight. It's kind of like the Kurds in Iraq. You know, you really have to think about who Obama wants to win and who he wants to lose. This is simple stuff. You arm your allies and you don't give away things to your enemies. This is really basic. You don't need to read Sun Tzu's The Art of War to understand those two really basic concepts of military strategy. Yet we have Kerry flying off to Moscow, where, by the way, he was kept waiting for several hours by Putin, a big snub. And then Putin just had a few minutes for him, another big snub. And Kerry's message was, if you don't take any more territory, we'll relax the sanctions. I mean, it's kind of like Iran. If you sit down and talk with us, in the case of Iran, we'll relax the sanctions. We get nothing for this. Putin is going to wait till the sanctions are relaxed. He knows how difficult they are to put in place to begin with, just like the Iranian thing. It's all a bunch of lies by Obama about how we could snap them back into place. I quote him. He's going to wait till the sanctions are relaxed, and then he's going to go do what he wants, which is take more territory so he has a land bridge from the Russian border to the Crimea, which he's already seized. It's just outrageous. It's unbelievable. Kerry is a weak sop. One of the best things the United States ever did was not elect him. Because God only knows what trouble we'd be in with Kerry followed by Obama. Oh, my God. All right. That's what's happening on the international scene. None of it good. Conflict with Russia, who, by the way, continue to fly there. There are attack formations of Tudalov bombers 50 miles off both coasts every day. We talked about that, I believe, the show before last. And ISIS. I mean, the continuing saga of ISIS. It's really unbelievable. This is an outfit that Obama could have taken care of and had the intelligence to take care of more than a year ago when they hadn't even crossed into Iraq. They were massed on the Syrian border. 5 days of intensive air campaigns, there would have been no ISIS. He did nothing. Once again, you have to wonder who he wants to win and who he wants to lose. I don't wonder. I'm quite sure of it. Then we have 2,300 new regulations, which Obama dumped on the American economy, the American people, and American business. The day before Memorial Day, nobody's talking about that in the press. One of them, by the way, is this new water regulation from the EPA and the Army Corps, who say with a straight face, remember, progressives lie. That's what they do. The means justifies the end. Read Saul Alinsky's Handbook for Radicals. They follow it to the letter. They actually sit there and look in the camera and say, this is not an expansion of the Clean Water Act, which, by the way, is 88 pages. Their new regulations are 2,000 pages. Now, let's employ some common sense here. You have a regulation which is 88 pages, and you come up with 2,000 pages of new regulations related to the statute and say that you haven't expanded it. Do we really even need to think about this? And let me tell you that this is a grab for your private property rights, folks. It is a grab for your private property rights because in those 2,000 pages, literally, they can control anything that's going on, even with a temporary impoundment of water. We're talking about a puddle, and I'm not exaggerating. Literally, if you have a driveway and it rains and there's a low area in the driveway that collects water, these regulations, to the T, could mean the EPA could drive up to your house and say, that puddle, it has oil remnants that have run down your driveway, and this is what you need to do to mitigate. I'm not making this up. You can't make this stuff up. If you have an area in your yard that is a low-lying place that collects water, let's say from runoff from your roof during a rainstorm, it is subject, if you follow the letter of these regulations, to the EPA and the Army Corps. This is a blatant play to control water across the entirety and breadth of the United States. And it's in contravention of two huge Supreme Court cases in the last 10 years, including Ramapo versus the Army Corps, where basically the Supreme Court held that intermittent streams, temporary impoundments, like I was just talking about, are not subject to the Clean Water Act, Army Corps, EPA. Here they are again, trying it again. Again, it's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars in litigation to get this thrown out. And in the meantime, it will interfere with farming, ranching, private property of any type or means, recreational, you name it, across the board, and you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it in higher crop prices. You're going to pay for it through your taxes, paying for all this litigation and them trying to rebirth the subject. Absolutely outrageous. And you know, the Clean Water Act, oh, it has its flaws, but I mean, basically, there's some good things in it. I mean, who's not for clean water? And by the way, did you know that the EPA and the Army Corps spent like tens of millions, it might even be over $100 million, in this campaign prior to announcing these regulations to try and get the public on their side? You know, I'm going to publish a deal along with a website. It might be up this week or next week. Definitely look for it. I'll highlight it. But basically, it's what the EPA and the Army Corps have said in their marketing campaign and what the law really says. And you know what? It's two different things. It's outrageous. And you should call your congressmen and your senators and tell them those regulations need to be voted out because they will affect you. And if you bring this to the next step, because remember, progressives, it's the nudge factor. They get a little bit, they get their toe in the door, they open the door wider and then wider and then wider, and before you know it, they're in the room with you. That's exactly how these regulations are written. They're written so they can be expanded in the future. This is the toe in the door, the camel's nose under the tent, and it affects every single person in one way, shape, or form in these United States. Economically, financially, and if you're a property owner, your property rights. All right, let's talk about this unbelievable slate of candidates on both sides. Let's start with the Democrats. You know, Hillary, obviously has huge problems. Now, the extent to which she's going to have huge problems is going to be to a large degree predicated on how she's covered by the press. Hillary is Barack Obama, except driven by greed and power. Barack Obama is driven by ideology and, I would say, hatred, but at least extreme dislike for the Constitution and American values. There's a difference between the two, but the end result is the same. Now think about this. Hillary had this server. There's been all sorts of testimony from top-ranked, the head of the intelligence division of the Pentagon, who's terrific, you know, former CIA directors, you name it. It's irrefutable. Her server, which was illegal, in which she kept all her State Department business, as the emails that are starting to trickle out are now showing, a complete lie by her on many occasions in front of the cameras. Her server was hacked, absolutely positively. Who knows what was on that server? I think we all agree that there's some really smelly stuff that's going on with these speeches, the foundations, foreign governments. We learned this week that there's 20 countries who wanted to get arms from the United States. All 20 countries contributed to Hillary's foundation and, in some cases, paid Bill or Hillary $500,000 for doing a speech at some university in the country. And all 20 countries got their arms deals approved. And we can go right down the list. I mean, you could fill pages with the smelly, corrupt consorting that has gone on with the foundation, Hillary, the State Department, her using her position of power to get money, which is what she's really concerned about. Now, just think, if a foreign government got into that server and there was incriminating, like criminal, not that all this other stuff isn't criminal, but there was like a black and white criminal thing in there, as I'm sure there was, before she wiped it clean. Just think about what a foreign government could do to the President of the United States in terms of blackmail. And if you think that Hillary or Bill Clinton wouldn't throw the United States and its people under the bus to save their own butts, you're wrong. Because all these progressives, in the end, after their ideology and after their greed and after their power lust, care about one thing, themselves. Above all else, Hillary, Bill, and Barack and their minions do have one thing completely in common. Well, they got many things in common, none of them good. But one thing they completely have in common, they are narcissists. What happens to you and to me and to our families and to this country and to this economy doesn't mean a damn to them so long as they make out, whatever make out is to each of them. In the case of Barry, it's ideology, his myopic obsession with unfounded, non-existent racial whatevers. In the case of Hillary, it's power and money. And along with that comes corruption. Hillary will throw anybody under the bus for Hillary. Period. You can take that to the bank. Now, what's really interesting in terms of the what's shaping up on the Democratic side, you have Elizabeth Warren lurking in the wings. And I think many Democrats, although they're scared to death of Hillary and Bill because of the power, many Democrats would like to see Elizabeth Warren run. Now, Elizabeth Warren is socialist. A funny thing came out this week, wasn't reported on much, of course, but Elizabeth Warren made millions of dollars buying foreclosed homes. Remember, she's all about the common people. She wants to help the little guy, but she's out buying their foreclosed homes and selling them at a profit. Interesting paradox. Typical progressive. Say one thing, do another. Whatever works for me is best. Now, depending upon what happens with Hillary, if the stink gets stinkier, if Sanders, who has announced his candidacy for the presidency, you know, who has now expressed the fact he wants to be the Democratic nominee, he's a socialist, self-avowed socialist from Vermont, caucuses with the Democrats, and kind of a whackball. I mean, I just don't know how he gets it. I don't know how he gets elected in Vermont. Vermont, hello. Knock, knock. The only good thing about Bernie Sanders running, well, there's two good things. Number one, he's going to move Hillary to the left. And the further left Hillary is, the more difficult it will be for her to win a general election. Remember, the Democratic Party is now the Progressive Party. They can't, you know, any further left, they'd have to move their headquarters to Moscow. Or Venezuela. Or Cuba, or Iran. You can't be further left than the Democratic Party is now, with very few exceptions. They are the Progressive Party. They are not the Democratic Party. So the Democratic Party wants to see a candidate as left as possible. That's why they love Elizabeth Warren. Also, she's articulate. She's tough. You know, she has some things going for her in terms of charisma. Bernie Sanders, of course, is a socialist. He's way left. And he's going to move Hillary left. Not that she has to move much, because he's not really a credible threat to her nomination. And then we have a new entry into the race, O'Malley, the governor of Maryland. You remember what's happening in Baltimore? Hoo-hoo! Yeah, just imagine him in charge of the country. Wow, great. Anyway, O'Malley is kind of a wild card. He's announcing here in just the next day or two, he's been running teaser ads, kind of clever ones, actually, kind of strumming on a guitar and then stay tuned, you know, that kind of stuff. O'Malley could go one of two ways. He could position himself between Sanders and Hillary in terms of left, right, moderate, blah, 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 and try and keep the left base of the Democratic Party in line, but at the same time, take Sanders' support, which, by the way, is about 10-15%. Or he could stay way left on social issues and go right of Hillary on big issues of the day, meaningful issues. I'm sorry, folks, I just don't think gay rights are meaningful issues. You know, let me digress for a moment. You women out there who are thinking of voting for Hillary because she's a woman, I'm going to be really nice and say this just as kind of smoothly as I can. Your body parts don't matter if you're dead. And they don't matter much if you're broke. And voting for Hillary might get you one or the other or both. Unless you feel totally safe with Barry at the helm, you don't want Hillary at the helm. Because Hillary is just Barry. Motivated by money and greed rather than ideology and dislike of the American way. I really think you need to engage your brain, ladies. A woman president, the right woman, would be terrific, a Margaret Thatcher type. Maybe some other gal out there in the United States. Look at the person Hillary is, not the gender she is. That is, if you value your life, your pocketbook, and the lives and pocketbooks of your family and your children's children. Because I'm not sure this country could take 8 more years of Barry's policies run by a corrupt woman who is shoveling money into her pocket and being blackmailed by who knows who, since she broke federal law and had her own server, blah, blah, blah. All right. So the Democratic race is kind of interesting because Warren's kind of cleverly waiting in the wings, you know, that way nobody's sniping at her. But if O'Malley positions himself right, because he's fairly popular on the East Coast, and Sanders can suck off the extreme left, you know, suddenly you have a block of 25, 30, 35% of the delegate vote, and Hillary's going to have to react to that. And if she has more and more scandals coming, if the press actually picks up the ball and runs with it, boy, wouldn't that be amazing. You know, you could see Elizabeth Warren come into the fray. Or you could see Elizabeth Warren maybe as a VP. I don't know. There's some interesting things still to play out on the Democratic side. I think the odds are slightly more than 50-50 that Hillary's going to get the nod. But I think we're in for some surprises. Let's wait and see. I'm going to give you an update here toward year end. I mean, we are 18 months, 19 months away here. Now, let's go to the Republican side. Very interesting. I mean, number one, you have 19 candidates in, probably several more going to announce. Huge slate of candidates, way too many in my opinion. I mean, I think 10 is manageable. 19, people start going, like, what's going on? Who's on first? What's on second? Which is on third? So I'm not going to talk about all the little candidates out there. I'm going to talk about those that I think warrant some talking about and actually have a chance to get the nomination. I'm going to tell you my opinions on them thus far, subject to change because, you know, these people have not been fully vetted. I have not listened to them relative to one another in debates. I'm sure crap is going to come out in every one of them. The Democrats are going to dig it up. There's no perfect person out there. Look at Hillary. But let's go down the list, and I'll tell you what I think about each candidate. I'll tell you where I think that candidate is likely to wind up in this melee that is the Republican nomination process, and impart some things to you that maybe you haven't heard or don't know about each of them and each of them relative to one another. Let's start off with Ted Cruz. There's many things I like about Cruz. He's tough. He's smart. He's a great orator. I think all in all, and by the way, I think he'd be a very good president. However, I think Ted might be just a little far right to get elected, even against Hillary. You know, the press and the Democrats have done a good job of kind of casting him in a certain light. They got on him early, like the Republicans are trying to do to Hillary right now, define your opponent early, like the Democrats did very successfully against Romney in the last go-around. And I think Ted Cruz is terrific in the campaign because he brings things that are right side to bear. In other words, he brings up topics for discussion that the other candidates have to deal with. So you get to hear their views on it. But I don't think Ted Cruz can or will get the nomination. I think he's a welcome addition to the campaign. And I think that his endorsement, by the way, of whoever gets it will be very important because he has many millions of very loyal followers, particularly down in Texas. Let's talk about Jeb Bush. I have to tell you that of all the top running candidates on the Republican side, nothing personal. I think the guy's a nice guy. I think he's relatively honest, you know, for a politician. I think he's sincere. I don't like him. I just don't like Jeb Bush. Would I vote for him over Hillary or any Democratic candidate that I now know of? Absolutely, positively, without a doubt. But it wouldn't be an enthusiastic vote. So Jeb Bush, you know, has problems, number one, with his thoughts on immigration, which seems to be continually evolving. I am not a proponent of Common Core, which I think is just the indoctrination of children into political correctness and, shall we say, ideas and history which are not the ideas and history, really, of America. He looks at it a different way. He looks at Common Core as a great measuring device, a great educational tool. I disagree. I think Common Core is something much more sinister than that. I think he's sincere in thinking that it's not. So, you know, on national defense issues, etc., he's been kind of fuzzy. I can't really get my hands around it. Obviously, as the liability of George Bush in many people's minds, he is the establishment candidate. The establishment of the Republican Party, I'm very disappointed in. I mean, they voted to fund Obamacare until October. They did a continuing resolution until October when they could have done it to February and waited for the new Senate. They've been supporting Obama in several other different ways, which I believe are antithesis to the best interests of America and the United States. I'm talking about McConnell and that crew. McConnell, McCain, and to a lesser extent, Lindsey Graham. We're going to talk about him in a minute. In fact, we're going to talk about Jeb, Carly, Christie, Walker, Rubio, Trump, Huckabee, Santoro, Paul, Graham, Ben Carson, and Perry. Those are who I think are the folks who have a chance and are worth mentioning at this time. So Jeb Bush, in my mind, I don't like for many reasons. Carly Fiorina, very interesting. I'll tell you what, I like her courage. She's not afraid to step up and say what she thinks. And I'll tell you what, she is the best attack dog the Republicans have for Hillary Clinton. As a woman, she can attack Clinton all day long and it's not sexist. Now, I don't think Carly would be a great president without more experience. Although, no, I don't think she'd be a bad one. I think she'd be way better than Hillary. I mean, like, night and day. But she might be a very viable vice presidential candidate. Bring a female gender to the ticket. You have an attack dog that can go after Hillary incessantly, and she is. With great points, I might add. I mean, she well thought out, well delivered talks. And humor. And there's a lot of things I like about her, and I'm watching her very closely. The question is there any baggage from her days as the CEO of HP when HP wasn't doing well that the Democrats could kind of take out of the little bag of nasty tricks and taint her with? Kind of like the Sarah Palin methodology. You know, remember what they did to Sarah Palin when she was nominated? Not that the two women are the same, they're not. But, you know, the Democrats, the progressives are the progressives. They're going to do what they do. They're going to attack the messenger, not the message. They lose if they attack the message. But Carly Fiorina is definitely worth watching as a potential VP candidate. Chris Christie. You know, I used to think a lot of Chris Christie. I don't anymore. Somehow that hug of Barry there in the sands following the aftermath of Sandy, and the praise he lavished on him right before the election, you know, the election of 2012. I mean, sorry. he kind of lost me. And the more, and it got me watching him more closely. And the more I learn about this guy, he is for gun control. Sorry, big red no. His stance on immigration is questionable. The liberal policies of New Jersey are suspect. I like his manner. I like his brashness. I like his delivery. I like that a lot. In that respect, Fiorino's a little bit like him. But I don't, the more I learn about this guy, the less I like about his policies, beliefs, and viewpoints. I think he's a rhino Republican in every respect. And I don't think he has a chance to either be either VP or president or get the nomination. Walker. Walker of Wisconsin. You know, I was ambivalent toward him. I mean, I watched and I participated and I helped raise a lot of money for the recall elections and his elections in Wisconsin and what he's done with the, and he did a fabulous job. But I kind of wrote them off in my mind as being dull and boring and, you know, Wisconsin. And you know what? I'm changing my mind rather rapidly. The more I listen to this guy, the more I think he is a bona fide conservative. And I agree with him on literally every point. I even like his ideas on immigration. And I think he's tougher than nails. He has been through a lot in Wisconsin, and he just stood there and slugged it out toe-to-toe and won on numerous occasions, not just one. He didn't just win an election. He won two elections. He won a recall. He won the state house, the state senate. He's kicked the union's butt, which is good for America. He's pro-Second Amendment. I think that his stand on social issues is cleverly just left enough to not turn off a lot of people. And I think it's a big mistake. I'm going to digress for just a moment. If the Republicans get caught up in these social issues, they're going to get their butts handed to them. The big issues of our time are immigration, because it's going to shape the face of this nation in elections, and therefore our eventual demise or the continued stability such that it is right now. National defense and security. I can't emphasize how important that is. Let me repeat. It doesn't matter what's in your pocketbook if you're dead. It doesn't matter what body parts you have if you're dead. It doesn't matter if you're gay or straight if you're dead. And you know what? Those things don't matter much if you're dead broke. I mean, people have to get their priorities in order here. How about we vote to survive and be prosperous and then worry about everything else? And I sure hope the Republicans don't go down the, what I would call the far right social path. I mean, it's just a loser. Get elected, go through the process, get the American people on your side from a position of power in office, and then do your thing if you can. If you don't get elected, you won't ever have the chance.